It was, as we mentioned, a well-rounded effort from the group. And I guess I'll ask the first question to the coach. Do you agree? Do you think this was a pretty solid, well-rounded effort from your team?
Yeah, of course. I mean, hopefully for our group, it's a statement win. I think it's, of all the games we've played, we had a few in the first half, but we decided as a group that we wanted to play winning hockey and not, you know, we don't pick, like, whether it's pro hockey, college, junior hockey, in any league. The players don't get to pick, the coaches don't get to pick what winning hockey is. There's a recipe for it. You have to go through it. You have to learn it. It takes selflessness, discipline, consistency. And tonight, you know, I thought our first period we were a little bit loose. And we were playing hope to win hockey, which we've done too many times in the first half, where if it goes our way with trading chances and power plays and things like that, then we'll be on the right side of it. But too many times, you know, whether it's making loose plays through the neutral zone or being undisciplined, you know, you got to find a way to learn how to play winning hockey. And we, you know, for us, we've got a group of young players in the locker room that, you know, I think collectively have one, maybe two playoff round wins, you know, so we don't have the experience with a group of guys, 5 to 10 guys that have been through a playoff run that have a strong understanding of what that is. And so our job as coaches is to teach them and educate them on what that looks like. And sometimes it's making the hard play instead of the play that you want to make. And it's taking a short shift and instead of trying to overextend. And, you know, they're, hopefully it's an understanding collectively as a group that the sum has to be greater than the parts. I think we have some great players in that locker room. But hockey's not about one individual or five individuals. It's about the entire group buying in and caring about the win more than they care about whatever emotions they feel in the moment. And I think we took a step tonight. You know, obviously, we'll see on Tuesday. But I'm really hoping that this is kind of a statement win internally for the group that this is what it takes. And if we want to string together 3, 4, 5 wins in a row and make a push towards the playoffs and be a team that can do some damage in the playoffs, we have to bring that level every single night. And the second period was, in my mind, one of the best periods we've had all season, and put ourselves in a position to extend the lead and win the hockey game.
You know, how was this different than, again, I've talked about it. We talked about it, Coach, in the pregame show, and we said, you know, the fans get teased sometimes because you guys, when you do a performance like this, when you present that, and like the win against Everett, the win against Prince George, the win against Portland, it seems to hit a 9 or 9.5 out of 10. And then when it doesn't, it's so much lower. How do you get that consistency? Because that's outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're working to figure out and gear towards. And hopefully games like tonight provide the evidence. We've watched too much film and talked too much about the games where it's not the 9, 9.5s, and what that feels like in the locker room. Like, they all want to win. You know, there's not a guy in that locker room that doesn't want to have that feeling of joy and camaraderie after a win. But it's in the moment with teenagers helping to understand that they have to be selfless in certain moments, and they got to make hard plays, and, you know, you got to be willing to block a shot or eat a punch instead of scrumming it up after the whistle, and, you know, shooting to maybe extend the play. You look at the Colton's goal where Luca Pira has it and it's off the pad, and it's a B-grade scoring chance that turns into an A-grade scoring chance. That's selflessness. And then you piece in some dynamic offense from a guy like Cameron. And I think, too, like, I they would all tell you last night our leaders, our veteran players, did not have their best night. And in this league or any league, you need your leaders to be your best players. Ty Haliburta was +5 tonight. He was 16 out of 22 in the faceoff circle. Ethan Mittelstadt and Merrick Howell shut down their top line, played a really hard competitive game. Cameron was great. Oreskovich was great. Ryan Lynn, you know, consistent every night. He was really good. So if we can have our leaders continue to bring that mindset and performance and effort, and then you have your younger guys, the Brett Olsons, Ty Sparks, Oboe, Chorney, Skok, like Dom, if you have those guys continue to take steps in the right direction, then we're a dangerous team.
Do you feel it at the time, and we've seen that a lot this season, do you feel at the time you can tell where now we flicked the switch and we're skating downhill? I mean, we're flying. We got momentum. And other times it seems like you can't get the toes pointing north. You're just, you know, flat-footed. Because when that happens, there's not many teams you can't beat, especially if you start looking at a seven-game series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've proven that we can play against top teams, but again, it's consistency and it's a willingness to do it every single night, every day in practice, every day in film, every day in workouts, and it's hard.
Do you feel it on the bench when the switch has been flicked?
Yeah, I mean, I think our group, there's times, probably too many times in the first half that they need to be pushed. And I think, on good teams, coaches are pushing and guys are responding. And then great teams, playoff teams, championship caliber teams, players lead. And I think that's the greatest feeling in the world. And we've had our ups and downs. And even today, kind of in the second period and definitely in the third at times, one of the greatest feelings you get as a coach is when you get to sit back and you don't have to say much on the bench and the players are leading and the messaging's right and your hands are off the wheel a little bit and you're letting them take control of their team. It's the players' game. Like, they dictate it. It's not that we put the game plan and the blueprint in and we can nudge and things like that, but really they have to make the decision. And tonight was probably the first time all year I felt the group as a whole, from the messaging, the effort, the decision-making within the game, show us that that's what they want to do. We've been in the locker room too many times frustrated and disappointed, and our guys have to understand, and hopefully tonight is a step where they are responsible and accountable for those feelings. And we have to do our job as coaches in putting together the lineup that's going to compete. We have to have a good game plan. We have to have a good pre-scout. Our messaging has to be on point. The work we put in has to be there. But then after that, it's them that go out there and drive it. And tonight they did.
You talked about a lot of the little details that add up over the course of the game, eating a punch, winning a face-off, doing the little things. Is a big part of your job just showing and explaining to these guys that those little things add up over the course of a game, the course of a season? Like anything in life, you do the little things right and you'll be rewarded in the end. Is that something like a major lesson that you have to teach these kids?
Yeah, big time. I mean, they're still teenagers. They're still young. We're still educators as coaches. I think you hit it on the head. There's all these small moments and small pockets in the game that can be the difference. And everybody thinks about a breakaway or a power play or the last 2 minutes of a period or at the end of the third, that's going to be the make or break and that's going to be the difference. But it might be something as simple as winning a D-zone faceoff or making a decision to block a shot or, getting punched in the face after the whistle. And instead of retaliating, you have the emotional maturity to eat that punch, knowing that your sight is on a win and 2 points, and that you eating that punch is showing 19 other guys what you're willing to go through. And, obviously we want to be team tough and we want to defend ourselves and defend each other, but there, it's discipline and moving your feet to check as opposed to reaching. Last night we took 4 stick miners, and that's going to bite you in the butt. And so putting in that extra effort, and it's a conscious decision in the moment, and we have to teach them and I really believe that they're growing and maturing, and we just need to continue to take steps in the right direction.
Coach, back to tonight's game for just a minute. You talked about the second period. You blew it open 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. 18 shots on goal in that period. How important was getting the first goal in 1:35 of the period and also getting a goal late to go ahead 2-1?
Well, I think it was huge getting that power play goal. And, we had a frank chat after the first period, and, that's a good moment, though, too. Like, you only have so many times as a coach to go in and maybe lean on the group. And, too many times coaches want to respond when the team's down or at a deficit. And we felt like it was a good moment being in the lead to lean on them a little bit. And then as a coach, you watch, like, do we get fragile and do we fold up because they, got leaned on a little bit. But our group went out. We responded with a big power play goal. I think that gave our bench a lot of life and momentum. And we were able to keep it rolling after that.
You know, we preface this a lot tonight by the top scoring line in the Western Hockey League. One and two scorers and Schmidt third. Hurlburt got a goal, and that was early, in that period. Beam never got a goal, and Schmidt got 3. That line totally minus 7 tonight, and only the 1 goal. Is that just motivation to check?
Yeah, you got to know who you're out against, and you're not always going to get the line matchups that you want. So it's a collective group effort. We had Ethan and Merrick were kind of tasked with that responsibility heading into the game, but they're going to find ways. They're very well coached, Kamloops, so they're going to find ways to try to get those guys out in advantageous situations, or, you know, maybe juggling the lines a little bit. And your best players have to be your best players and outperform their best players. And those guys are great over there. Like, that's one of the top lines that we've seen. And obviously a key focus going in is we have to do our job against them.
Puck pursuit. I thought tonight, you know, when you dump the puck in and want to forecheck, you're not often going to get it back. It's like, for me, my feeling is like having a puck, the basketball in your possession, throwing it to the other end, and then they've got it, and away they go. I mean, it's silly. But I thought your pressure after a shot, after puck retrieval, that forecheck was, I think, was as good as I've seen. And in other words, it didn't seem like the Blazers ever had real good possession to make a breakout play the way they would like to.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked a lot about that before the game. You know, we have all these systems and structure and game plans, and, you know, ultimately a lot of times hockey comes down to puck races and puck battles. And if you put pressure on an opponent, it takes away their time and space and their level of comfort to be able to make a play. And you're also getting the puck back a lot more. And, you know, faceoffs too is a big piece of it. You know, last night we were only 38% in the circle. Tonight we were a whole heck of a lot better. And when you're losing faceoffs, that's a puck battle. And that's not just the responsibility of the centerman. That's the wingers that are helping out. When you lose a draw in the O zone, now you're on the forecheck. You lose a draw in the neutral zone, now you're on the forecheck. You lose a draw in the D zone, now you're playing D zone. But if you flip that, you win the draw in the D zone, now you're getting pucks into the neutral zone. You win the draw in the neutral zone, now you're getting pucks into the O zone. And when you win the draws in the O zone, now you're setting up your end zone attack. And so those are the little parts of the game that, you know, we have to be on point with, and tonight we were.
5-0 now, Sunday afternoons here at home. Have you starting every game at 4 o'clock, or is that
Yeah,
just
maybe
the...
don't tell the schedulers that, but we seem to respond, and huge credit. Like, we've had great turnouts. Our crowds have been phenomenal on Sundays, and, you know, it's such a momentum boost. I think it's underrated. And, you know, you see it over in European soccer and things like that. I think hockey, maybe it's not at the college level, you see it a little, but, you know, if our guys feed off the home crowd, and so getting the support of our crowd, getting them engaged and enthused, the Sunday crowds have been phenomenal, and so credit to all the people in the organization that are selling the tickets and promoting the games. But to get our fans turning out and being engaged and lively, and that's one thing that's really struck me about being here in Vancouver and seeing the crowds, is not only are they're at the rink, but they're in the every play, and they're, you know, it's a missed chance, and it's the oohs and ahs, and it's the excitement of the game, and it adds to the experience for the players. And I know how much they appreciate, and we appreciate them coming out.
I think I got three, Coach. Can you handle
it? Cool.
Okay, you made some different pairings as far as your defense is concerned. Was that just for this game, or are you going to go ahead with that a little bit more?
We'll see. You know, it was definitely for this game, and we'll review film and talk about it internally, but we thought all those guys did a good job. You know, Crosby, Matejchuk included, like, what a game he had for a young 15-year-old in his first game. And with him and Ryan Lynn out there, there was times I would look at the blue line in the O zone, and there wouldn't be a defenseman up there, but... No, I thought the D-Corps did a great job, so we'll see.
Well, you know, often you bring a guy up, a 15-year-old, kind of to get his feet wet, kind of feel what it's all about. Get to feel what it feels like making good plays. I looked at him tonight, and I'm thinking, you know what, you got to get him on the ice. He has to play. He's that important a defenseman out there. Did you see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of seeing how the game goes and how he's adapting. But he's got, like, he's just a cool-headed hockey player with great IQ and confidence, and just plays the game. And so, you know, after the first couple shifts, you know, I'm looking at Galen, our D coach, and I'm like, yeah, he's fine. Like, just, you know, keep running him out there, and you know, he's going to be a big time player for us in the future. And I thought he did an excellent job.
Reminds me, I said it on the broadcast with Lance Bulma when we brought him up as a 15-year-old in Kelowna. He was the second star of the game. It was like, well, he's got to be out there. I remember Mark Fistrick, our defensive pick. We had to have him out there, not to get him experience. Because he made us a better hockey club. Last question. I just want to leave with this comment. You talk about reads. Tom Watt, who's a Vancouver coach with the Canucks, Stan Smeal told me one time, he says, when we dump that puck in, we have six reads we got to make. That's how we react. He says, we got all confused. So I don't know how many reads you guys have, but that's an extreme, obviously. But nonetheless, whatever you're doing right now, Coach, what do you expect from Calgary?
I mean, they're a good team. They're having a good season. We'll dig into a little bit more film tomorrow. And, you know, when you're playing a short turnaround and, you know, against three different opponents, you're kind of living in the day-to-day and you're getting your work done in advance. So we'll dig in tomorrow. We're here in Langley for practice and work on some things and prep for a good Calgary Hitmen team.
Well, it's a grind right up to the new year and into the new year. So yep. Thanks for your time. It's the head coach Parker Burgess of the Vancouver Giants.
Appreciate it, guys. See you Tuesday.
Thank you so much. As he joins us post-game from a 7-3 Vancouver Giants victory over the Kamloops Blazers. And